Blog Talk Radio.
All aboard!
I'm trying to cut everything off. No, let it.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so telling about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of touch. But it wasn't because I didn't know enough.
I didn't find it. I did something different. Wow. Even all that noise, I was hearing you making noise. Boy,
well,
I tell you.
Well, I was getting a coffee and.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. Don't you go ahead. Go right ahead.
I had to have coffee.
Coffee?
I had company for dinner and I gave them some stuff and they didn't think it was hot. So. I took a big bite of a giant jalapeno that I got, and guess what? It was hot.
Well, that's what Bob and I were just talking about. Jalapeno. He's making fried jalapeno spiced chicken. He's got some jalapeno spice, and that sounds good.
Yeah,
and I just had a jalapeno pepper not too long ago, so. Everybody's talking about jalapenos. It's the UAW Factory Whistle Show for the 9th of October. Wow. Good Lord. Pretty soon the snow will be flying. Chilling up.
Don't say that too loud.
58 degrees yesterday.
Right. Well, before we go any further, look, I know we've got some listeners from all over the United States. For all of our southern listeners down there that got affected by the bad weather this last weekend, our thoughts and our prayers go out to you. Luckily, the storm diffused its intensity, but unfortunately, it did leave a lot of water behind. So. Our thoughts and prayers go out with everybody that had to endure Matthew.
Yeah. So. Yes. I know. Bob mentioned that last night, and because he's been through it. He's been through that mess down there in Texas. Oh, man, what a mess.
Right.
That's one thing we don't have to worry about up here, thank goodness.
No.
That is a good thing. So what's up, brother? What's going on in the world? We got a couple guests in the switchboard. I got to switch back and forth. So if you're by your computer, you kind of man the switchboard because I have to, for some reason, my chat room on my flash drive does not work. And I have to keep going over to this other and I have to leave the switchboard to do that. So it's a mess.
Right. Right.
Well,
okay. I mean, it's just, everybody seems to be just up in arms and going crazy over this election. And, you know, we're not going to sit here and talk a whole bunch of politics. I'm just saying.
No.
investigate, investigate, and investigate, and it's almost set.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Your homework.
You got a debate tonight. If you want to, I don't know. I guess they call that a debate tonight, and it should be interesting. And watch it. And
right.
Make your mind up.
Right.
Well, you got plenty of time. Yeah. Not plenty of time, but you got a few more weeks to make your mind up. So just do your own due diligence.
Right. Yeah.
I'm using big words now. Due diligence. Wow.
Due diligence. Dues. Speaking of dues, union dues. I have gotten so much political propaganda in the mail. And I understand they feel it's important that we are educated about this election.
Right.
I just wish they felt that we needed to be as educated on our contracts. I just wish they wished that we would be as educated on the convention. I just wish they'd be as want us to be as educated as going on as to what happens out in Solidarity House. Awful funny. They can put all this information out around, the time to vote. But when it comes time to know what's going on with your own life and your contract and watching out for your family and watching out for your retirees, you get a runaround on keeping the dark. You know, if you're a temporary worker that thinks they need should be able to run for a position, no, you can't. But we're going to take your dues. You know, I am getting so tired of this bull crap.
Yeah, and, I understand. Yeah.
I know I've got more than $11 worth of mail in the last month and a half from Solidarity House. I don't know about you, but I've got some awful nice pieces.
I did too, yeah.
Glossy, printed on both sides, postage paid.
I'd like them to tell me what the Republicans have done for the workers and or the Democrats have done for the workers. It doesn't matter which party. Tell me what they have done for the working people. That's all.
Right. Right.
I can't see it. But, hey, maybe I'm missing something.
Well, you know, I've always said, you know, you had, it appears, a very misinformed president of the UAW, Dennis Williams, has supported Hillary Clinton. And I'm telling you right now, in light of the WikiLeaks coming out, Mr. Williams, your girl there, she supports TPP, and she supports the big banks.
And open borders.
She supports open the borders up. She supports not regulating the banks. She also supports fracking. And there's so many things that she supports that most of the union members wouldn't ever tolerate. So I'm sure that makes Mr. Williams look very, very good in everybody's eyes now that, you know, he wants to come out and embrace her as his girl, who he wanted to endorse. We all wanted Bernie to be endorsed, but he wouldn't do that. They did an internal, vote, and the people that they talked to wouldn't vote for Clinton. And
yeah.
We'll see what happens,
whatever you vote, just go out and vote. Whoever you vote, I should say, go out and vote. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. That's up to you. I have my convictions, and you have yours. But if you are just listening to mainstream media, you should probably do a little more research on both candidates. Both people need to be scrutinized.
Absolutely.
And there's four of them, Gary Johnson and Jill Stein. So you can look into them. Gary Johnson was kicked off my radar when he was doing an interview and he stuck his tongue out and started talking with his tongue out of his mouth. No, and that kind of blew it for me. And Jill Stein is, you don't hear much about her anymore. She's still out there. So check them all out. There's four people. Check them all out. Give them all a shake.
Actually, there's actually still five, because there are going to be quite a few people who are still going to write in Bernie Sanders.
Well, there's four main on the ballot. You can write in who you want, whatever you want to do. And
right. Right. That, yeah, one year.
I'm going to write in Texas Bob. I think anybody can fry chicken is presidential.
There you go. My oldest son and myself, we both wrote my dad in. So my dad could officially say that he had two votes cast for President of the United States of America.
There you go. Hey. Very nice.
Yeah.
And that might happen this time, too. You know, who knows? This could very well be that kind of flex.
Yeah. I might have to start a trend. I don't know. You know?
I don't know either.
Well, you know, I mean,
we're only going an hour tonight. We're going to stop at 8 o'clock, and so everybody can get to the TV so they can watch the big debate tonight.
Right, if you don't work third shift.
Yeah, of course. If you're in Arlington, you're probably not going to be able to watch it. But
right. And by the way, hello to everybody down to Arlington. And,
And I got a lot of emails. We did get a lot of emails, but there's a lot of emails I cannot read. Still.
Oh.
This Trump tape, it doesn't bother the people that written me from the UAW. It hasn't bothered. That's his BS. You can walk down the line at the plant and hear some of that stuff. That, you know,
right.
And that's probably true. But
yeah,
to each their own on that. But I can't read what the rest of the story is, and it's not political. Now, if it pertains to working and things like that, I'll read them. TPP, things like that. So there you go.
Well, Dick Benson had talked about this probably 4 years ago, 5 years ago. Yeah, you might have to help me with this. Remember he was talking about why we're wasting our time on electrical cars? Why weren't we doing hydrogen? Remember that?
Right. Yes.
Remember he talked about there was a bus, a city bus, down in Detroit in 1968 that ran on hydrogen, right? That sound right?
I don't know.
Maybe? Okay. Well,
it's in...
unless my memory is failing me, I'm pretty sure that's what it was. It was a one singular city bus that was in Detroit that ran on hydrogen that General Motors had built. Well, the reason I say that is because I was going through an Army Time News, which I like to read. They call it Army Time, I'm sorry. GM lifts the veil on a new hydrogen-powered truck for the U.S. Army. They said that they debuted a new hydrogen cell-powered truck that can store energy, make water, and provide troops with at least a near-silent transportation option. For right now, it's going to be the Chevrolet Colorado ZH2. It's simply a demonstration vehicle and not linked to any particular program of, you know, of record, but the Army and GM see a bright future for the use of hydrogen power. So, as, you know, we go and we look back at this, and evidently General Motors has been working on hydrogen cell technology for quite some time.
Right.
And now they're going to put it into, a useful application. And I did post this on Workers' Replacement Unions, and I'll tell you what, Don, it is a beefed up Chevy Colorado. I mean, it's standing taller. It's got some things, of course, that we wouldn't see from, you know, a normal Chevy Colorado.
Right.
But I'm looking at a picture right now. I'm gonna say, well, it's tough. It's a tough looking vehicle. It really is.
Well,
you know, mid-sized truck.
T Boone Pickens down in Texas, the oil and water man down in Texas.
Right.
He runs all his vehicles on hydrogen. He has for a long time. I played a tape of him, 6 years ago. Talking about, he said they took the reporter in and showed exactly the fillings, the station, and all this. And he said, "We don't use gas here. We don't use gas at all. Nothing to, you know." And I'm going, why in the hell can't we do that? If he's doing that, he said he had a mechanic change everything over that he has in his arsenal of vehicles, and they're all running on that. So
wow,
it's not a new thing at all. It's just like Dick would say, you know, General Motors has been making vehicles over 100 years, and one day we'll learn how to make them the right way. Yeah, well,
right.
The jury's still out on that. And that goes for all the big three. I don't know what's going on. Yeah. Yeah, Dick called that a long time ago. I remember him talking about that quite a while ago.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, I thought I'd share that out there. That was kind of a cool thing to put out there, you know. And it's official, by the way.
It's
official.
Yeah, bringing
the Ford Bronco back in 2018. So. I'm sure it's not a coincidence the same year that OJ's up for, parole, right?
Parole.
But,
I'll have the OJ special.
Yeah.
From
white.
Powers.
Have it white.
Yeah.
White only does 20 miles an hour, right?
That's right.
White does 20. anyway, it's a nice looking picture. I like it, but you know what? It sure don't look like that nice 1966 Bronco that I'm looking at. But anyway, you know, that's back in the good old days. But it's coming back, and it's made here in the States, by the way.
Well, that's
so,
good.
They're also bringing the Ranger back to the United States.
Ranger?
Yep.
I haven't heard that in a long time. I used to have a Ranger.
Well, did you have the? They didn't make an 8-foot box then. They had a 6-foot box, right?
Small, yeah. It was a small little thing.
Well, yeah, but it was still, maybe it might have been small, but it was still a truck, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, it was a truck. Of course it was a truck.
You know what I mean? It was still a truck. It was just a small truck, but it was a truck. So then my question is, what else do you call it? It's a small truck.
Oh, well, okay. I called it something else after out of the dealership 10 times. I called it something else.
Yeah.
It has a small box on it.
I know you could have gotten them with 4-wheel drive. There was options available on them. I didn't say they're the best boat vehicle, but they did sell a lot of them.
They did.
A lot of Rangers. So my question is, let's see, we're bringing the Bronco back, and I'm trying to think which vehicle is that supposed to be in competition with. Definitely would probably be the Yukon and the Tahoe. But Chrysler doesn't have anything of that size. Rumor has it they're bringing, you're going to love this one, Power Wagon back in a Ram Charger.
Ah, the Ram Charger.
Remember, that was Chrysler's version of the Tahoe. Or the Blazer, the full-size Blazer.
Right.
And you could get one with the Power Wagon option on it, which I think got you a 360 motor and some other whistles and bells on the inside and some different mechanicals underneath.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing that's going to possibly make a comeback.
Right.
But with all this stuff that's being announced with all these new products, so my question is, are they going to bring back the F-10?
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I mean, Denimo's give up on the 560. And
yes.
Now they're back into that. But they're partnering up with somebody else. And when they give up on that, if I remember right, wasn't it Ford's Navistar had that truck segment all to themselves, didn't they?
Yeah, it was Ford. I believe it was Ford. Yes, it was.
Yeah. And, I mean, International had a few smaller trucks that they were putting in that market. But if I remember right, I think it was Ford had that all to themselves. And so now General Motors is back into that. I'm just wondering if they're going to bring the F-10 back. And can't make it in Shreveport no more because they're making the little 3-wheel Elio down there now, right? So.
Yeah.
There's other plants that are available. But I was just thinking, we're bringing the Ranger back. The Bronco's coming back. If we're going to bring all these vehicles back, we're going to bring the F-10 back. Yeah, let's, maybe we'll bring the El Camino back, too.
Yeah. People loved the El Camino back in the day. They loved it. I can't understand how, I guess they didn't sell enough, but they sure did like the El Camino. I didn't, but I knew a lot of people that had them. when I was younger, younger, my neighbor had one.
Right.
Swore by it.
Right. I know there was a fellow at the plant where we was at that had one that was I want to say 67 through like 69, somewhere in that, that had a big block in it from the factory. It was very healthy. You know what I mean?
I bet
it had
it
a 396 in it.
Yeah, healthy.
Woo, baby. And, I think they killed El Camino in, I want to say 86, 87.
I don't know. No, don't ask me. I don't.
Right.
It wasn't a fan.
I think. Yeah.
It was
yeah.
not a
fan. It doesn't matter. I mean, they killed it. It's gone, you know. They're bringing it back. The National Automotive Center, which is part of the Army Automotive and Armaments Command, has unveiled the first of two demonstration vehicles off a commercially based tactical truck program, referred to as Combat. They would, you know, love this one. Originally, they premiered at the 2000 SAE Congress in Detroit. So that's 16 years ago. Now they're looking into it, and it is a combat Ram truck that they have, you know, put a lot of heavy equipment up underneath.
Right.
Change the frame. I mean, this isn't something that you and I are going to be able to buy. You know what I mean? Adjustable springs. It's got damping shock absorbers. It's got extended suspension travel. It's got 37-inch tires on it, Goodyear tires on it. There are also one slant inserts in it. It's got a Dana central tire inflation system in it. I mean, it's got Dana Hydrolock front and rear. I mean, this thing is, it's beefed up, dude. I mean, it's really beefed up.
Right.
So, you know, you've got General Motors offering up a Colorado in hydrogen, and now you have what appears to be as a Ram that's been really beefed up severely. If you look at the picture, you can see what I'm talking about. I mean, 37-inch tire, that's a big tire. So you can only imagine
yes.
how tall this thing sits. And, you know, I like to think that we're being intuitive and that we're being creative and that the automobile manufacturers are offering up vehicles again that we built at our plant that we could use and for our armed services. And I mean, that's great. That really is. And when I stop and think about that, I go, well, you're willing to spend money in engineering to offer this to get the business of the government and
right.
to have these vehicles for our armed services. Why don't we just go back to the Hummer? Because didn't that Humvee, didn't that just work well for them for years? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but I don't know their internals, so I don't know if it worked. It worked well after they lead plated the damn thing, so it wouldn't, you know, when they go over a mine, it didn't destroy everybody inside. But
right,
I don't know what the reason is.
Didn't they put like a Kevlar plating up underneath that? So when that happened,
yeah,
I think
they
did, wasn't it?
I believe that's what they did.
Kevlar plated.
To help save lives, that's for damn sure.
Right. But, I mean, as far as the Humvee, it'd go just about anywhere, wouldn't it?
Well, as far as I know, I don't know the problem with it over there in military service. I know the truck plant had a military contract years ago because we had to paint them a special green and black, you know, how you know, camouflage type thing. It was there's a lot of things on these damn things that you don't get on a regular truck. That's for sure.
No.
And the wiring is specially covered. It's pretty intense building one of these things.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, do you remember, man, this has probably been, I'm going to say, 7-8 years ago? Do you remember when the Israeli army had some vehicles that
right.
made some 2500s for them?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember
right.
those?
Yeah.
Them were some badass trucks. They really were. They
yeah.
sounded great coming off the end of the fire line because they didn't have
they had to be
no catalytic converters.
Right.
Huh?
And they had to be sprayed special. Because I had a friend, my friend Doug, was in the spray booth back in the back. You know, they'll wash the trucks. And when it came to those, he had to use a different, I don't know what he used, but he had to use something different to spray those trucks.
Right.
So
they ran all clear glass all the way around because they were going to put bulletproof glass in there.
Right.
They weren't just a plain truck. They had beefed up suspension parts, and I'll never forget they had the bulletproof tires. Remember those? That was quite the thing.
Yeah. We only have 20. What time do you have? Is my things are all off. When?
We have 26 minutes left.
26 minutes left in the show? Okay.
Yeah.
We do have a lot of people in the switchboard, and as we stated earlier, we're going to let everybody get out of here early so you can watch the debates and whatever comes of that. So we'll
right,
be
right,
done
right, right.
here at 8, and you and I and who? Ed from Florida. We're going to do a show tomorrow night. And who else? Bob, Texas Bob, tomorrow night at 9 Eastern Standard Time, right?
Yeah.
I almost forgot. Yes,
don't
tomorrow
forget.
Night. I'm not going to forget. Now I won't. Tomorrow at 9 Eastern Time about this election and kind of critique this debate or whatever the hell it is, town hall. And we'll see where it goes from here. From there, Ed the hates the Fed from Florida. Now, I don't know who he is. Texas Bob, of course, you, me. It seems like there's somebody I'm missing, but I could be wrong. We have people, Julio, he got out of he's from New York. He calls in once in a while. But we'll be on tomorrow night at 9 Eastern Standard Time. And, we'll see how that rolls. We haven't done this before.
Well, it'll be interesting.
Rebecca the Badass was supposed to come on tonight and do a report. I haven't heard from her. So I don't know exactly where she is. She had something she wanted to say tonight, if I remember right. Yeah. And Brian the Badass, I don't know, Brian Keller, that's who. He's busy. He's got a family, and, you know, he hangs out. He's got a life. I don't have a life myself, you know what I'm saying? But anybody in the switchboard, you have about somewhere around 25 minutes or something like that to push one on your keypad. You just want to yak,
right?
And
right.
Give us your opinion of the state of the union, which I think, man, the people are great, but in brainwashed, yeah. But the people running it suck. And
right.
That's my opinion. I said Brian the Badass Keller, and guess who's here? Brian the Badass. Uh-oh. What's up, sir?
How you two doing?
I'm missing you, brother.
Did I miss the joke?
No, you didn't miss the joke. Good Lord.
How you guys doing?
Come on. Very good. Very good.
I'm doing well.
Any news, any auto news, anything going on? Is it just the same old, same old?
No, we were just. Scott was bringing up the new vehicle, new old vehicles they're thinking about being back, like the Bronco and Ranger, even. That's a word from the past. But other than that, no. Just waiting for you, man. The show doesn't start till you show up. Come on now, you know better than that.
Well, I mean, I've been quite busy for quite a few weeks now, but
absolutely.
Truthfully, the little time I get the postings on the page, I haven't been seeing too much. You know, I mean, it's kind of quiet. I was reading a little bit about the article with Fiat, Chrysler Automotive, and the Canadian auto workers over there, and something about Marcioni talking about package is too expensive and that he couldn't afford it. So who knows what's going to happen between Fiat and the Canadian auto workers, and whether they're going to strike or not. But you know, we talked about how they, you know, they play each plant against each other. They play each country's labor market against each other for product line. And it's, you know, they continue to bring the wages down. But, I mean, it is what it is until the membership decides they want to make the first step of trying to get control of the leadership. It's going to continue to go this way, because in order to fight Washington, D.C., we have to have a leadership that's willing to stand with us. And as it seems at this point now, they're not standing with us. And, you know, the union always seems to back the Democrats, even though both parties have hurt us tremendously, and especially with NAFTA, and now they're pushing TPP. So there is really no good party to go with, Democratic or Republican, but you think the UAW maybe would push for, you know, one of those alternatives like the Green Party or who's that? I forget the guy's name.
Gary Johnson and Jill Stein.
Yeah.
Well, funny you forgot his name. He seems to really get a few things himself, so I thought you was making fun of it.
No, I'm just getting old.
Oh.
But, I mean, it really comes down to the membership coming together. I mean, the union was built on equality, and that no longer exists, and it's evident that our benefits are getting cut, and we're paying more into that, and things of that sort. So hopefully the membership decides they want to stand up to their and get control of their leadership. So we have the leadership that's willing to fight Washington, D.C., and big business. But until then, if we're not going to take responsibility, we're going to keep getting the same old, same old.
Well, you know, I kind of agree with you. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you were saying
go ahead.
Now?
I kind of agree with you on this, you know, because the next thing I was going to talk about till you came on was Honeywell. You know, you had some more union brothers and sisters go down there and support them. This last week at the rally we talked about that Scott Holderson had had posted on different Facebook sites. They wound up with about 150 people from different unions down there, to join them, and the community coming behind them. So they got the community support. But when they talked to the spokesperson from Honeywell, they said they've had a difficult but constructive discussions with the union this week. They says, while we have made some progress, we unfortunately did not reach an agreement. Well, now they're not going to go back and talk and resume negotiations now until November 2nd. That's almost a month away. And I'm thinking to myself,
there was no reason.
No.
What was the reasoning for that?
Yeah, what was it?
They just said that the fourth round was unsuccessful since the lockout began. They said now the parties will resume on November 2nd. The way, I didn't see anything from the UAW, but you did get a spokesperson from the North Central Indiana AFL-CIO chapter. He did said that he wanted Honeywell to know that this entire community has the back of these workers, and we want the company to sit down and make it a reasonable agreement for them. Okay, this is playing out like Kohler. You know what I'm saying? Kohler went out there, held tough, and then next thing you know, they get one of our kind of contracts, but only worse.
Starting to smell.
So, these folks have been out since early May.
Right, and the UAW didn't put out a statement at all?
Not that I can see.
The company put out a statement, but the UAW sat on their thumbs again. So, what does that tell you?
I personally don't think that. I don't think the UAW is doing enough for those people. I really don't.
Hell no.
I
think they're trying to scare them into submission. I think if they feel like they keep them out long enough, they're going to cave into whatever comes next.
That's what they did at Kohler.
Yeah, that's why I think they're going to pull the same crap on these guys.
Union officials and representatives of elected officials spoke during the rally. Ken Lortz, LORTZ, director of UAW Region 2B, which covers Indiana, Ohio, said the health care proposals would give Honeywell too much power to change the health care benefits. They want to reduce the health care benefits and reserve the right to further reduce or eliminate them, he said. Boy, that's awful funny. This guy's saying that they didn't have a problem. They did it with our national contract, so did they? You know, you're covering 317 employees here, and you're covering basically about 150,000 UAW workers at the Detroit 3. But anyway, this fellow drew an applause in the crowd when he said that Honeywell turned its back on the workers of the plant and the community, and when they brought out-of-town scab workers who don't spend money in the community. Other than that, that's about it.
All these companies are turning their backs on the American worker. Even GM, Ford, and Chrysler are. They're shipping jobs over to Mexico for cheaper labor. I mean, you know, eventually, I mean, going to come down to where General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler are going to say, hey, this is it. This is what we're giving you. You take it or leave it. Because if you don't take it, we'll just have Mexico. We'll have China. We'll have Indonesia. We'll let them build the cars for cheaper. We don't care. So this is what we're offering you, what you're getting. Either take it or leave it. And that's what it's coming down to.
We talked about that last week a little bit. The Buick Encore is being made in China. You know?
But my point
is,
and people need to understand this, that the U.S. dollar is still the world currency as we speak. We still have the upper hand. We have a leadership willing to fight for us. But we need to find a way to get control of that leadership. Because as it is right now, this leadership is catering to these companies. And if Trans-Pacific Partnership gets passed, I mean, to me, the union is going to be obsolete. Because it ain't going to make sense to have a union at that point because they can't even protect you. They can't protect you now. And I believe wholeheartedly in a union. You got to have the union to keep balance. But if you can't get control of your leadership and they're all out looking out for themselves, trying to save themselves because they don't know how to negotiate in a global economy, then what? Because as it looks right now, like I said, Honeywell's still sitting out there. We're losing jobs. We're losing benefits. We're losing rights. I mean, how far do we got to go down before you guys realize that the union's not doing nothing right now? Why? Because they're not educated. They're stupid. They don't know how to negotiate in a global economy. We need people at the Solidarity House that are willing to stand side by side with their membership and fight. People with common sense, people with education.
I agree.
So, again, I'm going to say it starts with us. We have to take responsibility for each other and figure out how we're going to get control of this union, this leadership. Because if we keep depending on the convention, we're running out of time. Because as time goes by, you got Congress taking things away from us. Okay? You got the president of the United States pushing Trans-Pacific Partnership. I mean, we need to not just fight these companies. We need to fight our government. But we can't do that without our leadership.
And according to the leaked emails that from Wall Street in her her speeches to Wall Street, she's all for. Even after she says she was against it to us, she tells us she's against it. But in private, those private little speeches she made, well, she's for it. She's for open borders, and she's for this open trade, open borders, and TPP. So that's in the emails. So who do you hell do you trust? I'm with Brian. You don't trust either party.
Right.
Hell, the Republicans are the ones, you know, until they found out at election time, all the people in America are against this TPP. So all of a sudden they're flip-flopping. They're going, no, I'm against it now. I'm against it now. But sure as hell, as soon as they get elected, look out.
And I'm going to say this. The Democratic Party, they did not save union jobs. They bailed out Wall Street just like the Republican Party did.
Right.
That's what they did. Because they knew if General Motors at the time was the largest corporation, largest employer at the time, even over Walmart at that point, if they knew if they collapsed and Chrysler collapsed, it would have pulled the rest of the economy down. They had to save their political career to keep the economy going. They knew if they didn't bail them out, there was no turning back. Everything was
gone. Yeah, the Center for Automotive Research, cars, based out of Livonia, down your neck of the woods, had come out and said that if Ford and General Motors went bankrupt collectively between the two, that would have potentially killed almost 3.2 million jobs in the United States immediately. I mean, and you know as well as I do, they couldn't have handled that kind of a hit in our economy at one time. And you're right. So people saved their political butts and their money and said, bail them out. You know, we don't want to have these guys to go bankrupt, because a lot of people would have been looking for another job, including the politicians from any of those areas, because the people were affected. You're right. It all comes down to money again, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's all about money.
Yes, it's all about the Benjamins, you know, man.
Yep. And I don't know if you guys seen the post lately with ING and what was the other Commerce Bank, and it was another bank, the German bank. What was it? Is it Deutsche Bank or what's the German bank that their top bank in Germany?
The Deutsche
Bank.
Top bank
in Germany.
Yeah.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Where's everybody?
Yeah. I don't.
What happened?
Anyway.
Hello.
Anyway, these three banks. Can you hear me?
What?
I can hear you.
Where'd everybody go?
I can hear. I can hear you, Brian.
Oh, okay.
I want to. Things up.
Anyway, yeah. These banks are laying off thousands and thousands of people because. They're taking a hit pretty hard, so it doesn't look like the world economy is doing very good at this point.
What I have to do is this. Bam.
Yeah.
Hit this.
Hey, Brian, Don's talking, you're right. It's the Deutsche Bank. That's at Frankfurt, and they hold $1.7
trillion.
$7
trillion.
$1.7 trillion.
What happened?
I'm here now.
Okay.
You didn't even know I was gone, did you?
Yeah, we heard you.
No, okay. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we heard you, but you didn't hear us.
No. And that's a good thing sometimes when Scott's talking, but hey, he's my brother. I'm kidding. Kidding, Scott. Relax.
Okay.
But these banks are losing billions of dollars on trade. And doesn't look like the market's doing good over there. So, and if I read something correctly too the other day, I just got on Facebook right now, but something to the fact that OPEC made a deal with Iran. And gas prices might end up going up.
Oh, yeah. You bet.
I can't find the article, though.
They are going up.
And I also read an article about Obamacare having a meltdown. Supposedly, the rates in other states are going skyrocket, and these people can't afford this Obamacare. So there's a lot in the economy that the media is not reporting, and that you got to basically research and find these articles, but the media is not putting it out to the people. And so I personally don't think we're out of the woods yet. I mean, so if the gas prices end up going up, it could kill a lot more U.S. auto jobs, especially in the middle of Fiat Chrysler Automotive, trying to retool, what is that, Shap and I think Warren Truck, and I think there was another plant, I believe, that they were going to retool. because I think they're taking the Cherokee from Jeep Toledo, and they're putting that, where are they putting that? Are they putting that at one truck or Shap? Can't remember. Do you remember, Scott?
No, I just know we got, I believe it's three plants down in your neck of the woods that was going to be affected. One was one main assembly where they're going to be bringing a vehicle back to, right?
Well, what was that? I think the Jeep truck or the Comanche or something like that was supposed to go to one truck. So, but like I said, either way, I mean, if the gas prices go up, that could put all that to a halt, and that could eliminate a lot of jobs.
Right. Defiance, Ohio's is going to lose 150 jobs because they're going to do away with some of the casting that they do down at Defiance, Ohio. So they're going to lose 150 jobs over the next year and a half. I mean, it's happening all over, dude. It is.
Yeah, it is.
Whoa. What the hell is that?
You know, so.
Yeah. No, you're right.
But like I said, the only way I you know, we have to find a way to get control of our leadership, because if they're paid into the company and they don't know how to take on the government, then we're in trouble, because we're truly losing a lot. And every time I go into work, it just seems like it's not business as usual. It seems like things are getting worse.
Yep.
And we have a lot of safety issues. You know, now it used to be like with OSHA, they would take the complaint. Now you got to do the complaint online, and they make up all kinds. It's almost like the OSHA's not fighting for the people anymore, and neither is the National Labor Relations Board. You know, I filed a complaint. They were supposed to get a hold of me. Here we are 3 weeks later, and they still ain't got a hold of me.
They haven't got a hold of you yet?
Nope.
Oh.
That's kind of odd.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know what happened. I called them at one point, and they said they passed my case off to another caseworker. Caseworker said he had to go over my file, and he was going to call me. And again, he hasn't called me yet, so I don't know what's going on.
Wow.
Right.
Amazing. Jeez.
Well.
Yeah. It
we've
is.
We've got about a minute left at tonight's show. So, you might want to start wrapping her up, Don.
Okay.
No, it's you and Brian. Your show. Go ahead.
Oh, it's me and Brian.
Yeah, you and Brian.
Oh, me and Brian's got to say it. See you
Thank
next
God,
week,
Brian.
You know.
You know. Geez.
Well, it's actually, it's your guys' show, and usually, Don, you're the one that wraps it up, so we just, you know.
I've done enough talking. I'm not supposed to talk on this stuff. Brian are. Brian, you and Scott are. Or Rebecca when she's here. I'm supposed to run the board and the switchboard. That's what I'm supposed to. That's my job. You two, you three, when she's here, are the experts. I'm retired. I'm just running the board, just going, uh-huh. And then I cringe when I see it's just me and Scott, and that means, God, I got to talk. Now I got to say and come on, Brian. It, you know, a little. But I know, Brian, busy. I know you're busy. And whenever you can bless us with your time, it would be much appreciated.
I think these people get tired of hearing my views sometimes. So you guys kind of go at it. You go at
I don't
it
give
in a different.
Hold on. I don't give a damn what these people think. I like it. So, You got Scott that's mellow, and then you got boom, and that's what you need. You need both sides, and you got both things to the table.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense to have a little balance to it. But like you said, you got 1 minute, and the show's supposed to end. You guys said you had a show going on tomorrow, I guess.
Tomorrow night at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, it's about this is politics. This is going to be about what's going. You know, after the debate, I see on the TV Donald Trump is talking. Oh my, he's got a rape, the alleged rape victim from Clinton, Bill Clinton, and all the other women at a table with him at a press conference. Oh, that should. Oh boy.
So you're telling me Donald Trump is getting on Bill Clinton's game? Because I thought Bill Clinton was the one sexually harassing women.
No, he's got the folks that have accused Bill Clinton for decades now that one was raped, the other was groped, and. Paula Jones is there. She was paid off $850,000 back in the day. So he's got these women there because he said if Hillary brought up what I've done in the past, well, it's time to pull out the knives and show these young people what Bill Clinton's all about and Hillary and what she's done to these women. So, oh, this is going to be nasty. Oh, it's going to be nasty.
Let me say this real quick, because I know there's a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of things that Trump says that I don't care for. And like I said, I don't plan on voting for him or Hillary at this point. So, but everybody's scared about Donald Trump and the codes to the nuclear missiles. But as you see right now, I've been posting with BBC and the Wall Street Journal, and things there with Syria and Russia and Egypt are getting pretty out of hand. So for all those people that thought it was going to be Trump, I think Obama and Hillary has beaten Trump to the punchline when it comes down to the nuclear codes with the situation with Russia, because if this escalates any further, it's not going to be good for any of us.
No, it isn't. It's looking like it's going that route in Syria between Russia and us.
United States.
Yeah, it's not looking good at all. And that's what happens when Yeah, go ahead, Scott. Wrap it up.
So tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, we're going to have Don's going to have another Beyond the Mainstream special edition. And if you're not busy, Brian, it'd probably be a great place for you to come return a call and come back in on the show tomorrow night. So I'm
Absolutely.
Sure you bring some stuff to that table.
Now,
I wish I could.
I wish I could, but I work afternoons.
That's right. You're on second shift.
This is very important. Take off the day. No, I'm just kidding.
FMLA.
tomorrow night at it's going to be interesting. We got somebody from Florida, and I'm sure a critic from Washington, the state of Washington. I know I'm not sure if he'll be there, but Texas Bob will be with us. And of course, Scott, and we'll critique what the hell we just, this bloodbath. This could be a bloodbath. I cannot believe he's got all these women, four or five women up here. Oh boy, this is going to be interesting. So,
It could take a real hit with Hillary because she's got primarily the women voters. So if whatever damage Trump does to Hillary and Bill, I mean, it could affect Hillary big time.
Yes, it could. Yep. It It really could, because she's done some nasty things, according to these ladies, allegedly. Well, okay, guys. Brian, if you can pull yourself away from them beautiful family years next week at 7 p.m. or 7:05 or 7:45. anytime you can make it, it'd be fine with us. Earlier the better, so you know I don't have to talk that much. Be grateful. I'd be very grateful. On behalf of Scott Shingledecker and Brian Keller, this has been the UAW Factory Whistle Show. Go watch the debate, learn something, do some research on the computer. Like Brian has said, you got to research from your job, from your union, do all that. Research everything. Right, guys?
Right.
That's
when you. Yeah, oh, yeah. I was going to say, that's when you say right, guy. You know, answer me pretty quick. Okay, guys, we'll talk to you all either tomorrow night or next Sunday night, all right?
Sounds
okay.
Good.
Alrighty.
All right, good night, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Good night.